good day. I'm here with Chief Jonathan Eshiloni Mumena, who has become an outspoken advocate for male circumcision in Zambia. Good day, Chief. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I wanted to ask you, so you've now been traveling around Africa to get other people to understand the benefits of male circumcision. How has that been going?
So far, so good. I realize that it is something we need to scale up the uptake of male circumcision and create demand as a way of finding a solution to the HIV and AIDS pandemic. And you discover that HIV and AIDS is across all cultures, and therefore all cultures are trying to find a lasting solution to HIV and AIDS, particularly now that we still do not have a cure for HIV and AIDS. So we need to take certain practical steps, and one of those practical steps that I see today is male circumcision.
And is there any particular country or region that you find sort of needs the most work in terms of, you know, progressing in this area?
I think that when I look at East Africa, I look at the Southern Africa, these two regions need a lot of help. These two regions need a lot of scaling up. These two regions need a lot of work to do, because these two regions are actually, I would say, the epicenter of the HIV and AIDS pandemic. And so this being an epicenter, we need to find means and ways and perhaps think outside the box to see how best we can bring about innovations to respond to the pandemic.
And you took, you know, such a bold step as a leader, being one of the first in your community to do this. How do you find that other tribal leaders respond to you when you discuss this?
After I took the step that I did, then I realized that many others wanted to find a way of resolving this issue. And so I did that, and I went public about the issue, and remember that I'm from a non-circumcising tribe. And therefore, there were issues on how best we're going to do that, and especially that I, as a traditional leader, am a custodian of custom and culture, and therefore, male circumcision not being one of our practices, therefore means that you challenging the powers that be, challenging the history, challenging who we are as a people. So I think that gave me a lot of challenges, but now I've seen that after going public about it, one thing I realize is that every culture today is threatened by HIV and AIDS, and therefore it is very, very necessary that we as leaders, even those from the non-circumcising, must be able to look at this and find a practical solution. And as I did say, male circumcision is one such practice. Yes, as a result of that, I've been talking to the village communities, the men and women, and also talking to the other traditional leaders that are from other cultures that are non-circumcising, and even from those that are circumcising, so they can be able to share their secret. You will be able to notice, for instance, from the Zambian perspective, that a region that, like Northwestern Province and Western Province, which these two provinces have circumcising tribes, you will also discover that the prevalence rate is very low. And perhaps we can only suggest that male circumcision, where it's been practiced, whether traditionally or otherwise, I think has been helping to reduce the incidence of HIV and AIDS. So I've been talking to many others, and thankfully I think that we're scoring a lot of successes, and many other chiefs are coming on board and influencing communities. Others have gone public about it, others are doing it quietly. But you see that the impact is there, not only in the traditional areas, but also we've also reached the people in the urban setting by radio and TV programs and adverts, and taking the discussion forum there, and also making sure that people phone in on toll-free line 990 to be able to ask their questions. So I think that whether it's at the traditional level or in the urban setup, the message is running like wildfire.
What, speaking of wildfire, I mean, you did this in 2011, and you said that August has become Male Circumcision Month in Zambia. Have you been surprised at how quickly this has all sort of caught on?
I must say I was shocked, because I didn't know the response was going to be so good and so big, and I didn't realize that so many people, yes, as much as they may not talk about it publicly, have actually been trying to find solutions. So when I went on TV and together with the help of Society for Family Health, we carried out these interviews and adverts and what have you. In the month of August 2012, when we thought we were targeting about 30,000 people nationwide, by the end of August 2012, we were already at 34,000, 37,000. And then when it came, so we had to, by popular demand, we had to extend the period into September 2012. And when we did that also, by the end of September 2012, we were already at 68,000. And it's been like that since then. And every day we have people that are queuing up. I think I would want to look forward to a situation where the MC services, the male circumcision services, are provided every day and every week, programmed just like we do for under five and antenatal. I think that we need to reach a stage where male circumcision services are provided that way. Notwithstanding, I am aware that we have challenges with personnel and human resource and whatever, and perhaps facilities, but I think that we've reached a stage where I look forward to a moment where anybody can walk to a health center anytime and be able to say, I demand to be circumcised, and they should be given that opportunity. And at the same time, I think that just as much as we are having HIV and AIDS corners, we also need a reproductive health corner, which looks at reproductive health, which looks at safe motherhood, which looks at male circumcision, which looks at information for cancers, cervical cancer, voluntary counseling and testing, so that we have a one-stop shop for all these programs to do with health. We need that. And I think above all that, when we look at male circumcision, we have mostly the policy in Zambia is one where one goes through surgery. But I think that there is need to scale up most of these other services so that we can also provide MC through the prepex and other objects that are coming through and other tools that are coming on the market. This is going to help us as we even fight stigma and so on and so forth, and also on the man hours that is lost and so on and so forth. But one can use, for instance, the prepex and still go about with their business, and they don't need a service provider. And so where we have challenges with health providers, gadgets like the prepex could ensure that people, the men, can go ahead and do it on their own. Yeah, so I think that the future looks very bright. And I'm looking forward to I can see that once this becomes part and parcel of our culture, I'm looking forward to the day we shall say bye to HIV and AIDS.
Me too. Thank you so much, Chief Mvena.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.